Oh, before we start recording, what are my guidelines?
No guidelines. Well,
Can
but
I
like,
say fuck?
of course.
Yes.
This is my favorite interview I've done so far. Live from the Amagi Inn Hot Springs, it's S-Link FM.
Hello and welcome to the 25th episode of S-Link FM. I am your host, Levito, and with me today are my co-hosts, Armada.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Ron.
Hey everybody, how you doing?
First time co-panelist here, PK.
Hello.
And of course, we have the guest of honor, someone that people have wanted on forever. We have Amanda Winley with us today.
Hey guys.
How's it going?
Welcome to the Amagi Inn.
that best start, period.
So, that is totally it.
Half of your audience just creamed their jeans. They're like, they're good. They're done for the night.
Yeah, that's
they
the
were like, oh,
for the rest of the interview.
Exactly. They got their fucking Yukiko body pillows ready.
That is it. We did it. We did it, you guys. We finally got your waifu.
Yeah, exactly. And on Valentine's.
You can stop sending us the emails and the tweets now. We finally pulled it off.
Oh, good lord. So, Before this, we go to complete hell with this interview and just lewd as all hell and whatnot.
We troll the entire audience.
Yes. So you've been doing this whole voice ADR and acting thing for a long time. How did you get started out in all that?
The short answer is I fucked a stand-up comic.
Oh, okay.
The long answer is I was a theater major in college, and then I met my husband, Jason, who was a stand-up comic, and he was friends with Rob Mungle, who did Guide, Double Target, and a whole bunch of ADV titles. And Rob just basically said to us, you guys have got to get in on this thing. It's crazy. It's so much fun. We were like, okay, whatever. And so they were holding auditions, so I went in. It was for the original Burn Up, and it was the first time I'd ever seen anime. So I get in there, and Matt sort of tells me what's going on and hands me a script and says, okay, we'll watch this part. And he shows me the section of the tape. And I was just like, that is so cool. And he was like, you want to try a read? I'm like, no, wait, let me see that again. That was awesome. Oh my God. I'd never seen cartoons blow stuff up like that before. It was fantastic. Before that sort of stuff made it onto mainstream television.
I guess the first time I'd ever heard of you was when you worked on Ava, like the original dub, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you were you did you do all did you ADR for the series and the movies? I can't remember.
Yes, I did. I was working at ADV when we did the series. Matt directed and produced. I co-directed some of the episodes, but it was really more Matt's baby. And then my company, Gaijin Productions, was contacted by Manga, and they asked if we wanted to do End of Evangelion and Death and Rebirth. And so we got the old gang back together for one last show.
Right on. It's too bad.
Yeah, I'm kind of unfamiliar with that. Who were you in Ava?
Ray.
Yeah, the
Ray
best.
Ray Ayanami.
The oh best God. Character. your your personality and hers are very alike, obviously. What was that? I couldn't hear it.
If I'm ordered to, I will do it.
Oh my God.
Oh, nice.
That
nice.
Sounds exactly like her.
I always joke that Matt cast me as Ray because he wanted me to shut the hell up for a change.
Oh. That works. And, she's pretty. I mean, that seems like both Yukiko and Ray are like that. They're just very quiet characters, right?
Yes.
you have so much energy, but that voice that you do, you know, for like Ray and Yukiko is like very bubbly and kind of just like this kind of like soft. Love it. That's great. That's really cool.
My guest relations voice.
Yeah. Jeez, we actually got a question about Evangelion, as a matter of fact. Kyle, is it cool if I read that one out?
Go for it.
So we got a guy, Chris Keene. He says, I remember when End of Evangelion was undergoing its English localization. Not only were you translating a lot of the original script, but you were rallying, pun intended, to get as many of the original English voice actors back for the two films. Can you please elaborate on a few of the setbacks you faced along the way?
Oh my gosh. First, you have to know that even back when I was at ADV, Matt and I used to call it Plaguegelion because there was a rumor that it was cursed. And it was inevitable. Hmm. Every time it was time to do another chunk of episodes, either me or Spike or Allison or Sue Ulu would get sick. Every single time. It's like, it always causes chaos.
Wow. That sounds so like that show. That just fits with that show's rep so well.
Oh, yeah. So then what I did was I rallied as much of the original cast as I could and did some initial recording down in Texas. Then I took all the recordings from Texas back to L.A., where I found out there had been a problem with the recording equipment in Texas, which this is like textbook for Evangelion. Like, they do things like they'd send tapes with just picture and no sound. I mean, something always went wrong with Plagueion.
Weird.
Yeah. And so anyway, I brought it back to L.A. and then I cast some people in L.A. to fill in some of the roles and stuff. And then I worked on it so hard that I got sick and was in the hospital for a week. And then finally, like, crawled out of bed and was like, let's just finish this thing. I never want to see it again.
Oh, good Lord. That sounds rough. Lordy.
Wow. He asked the right question, then, it seems like.
That was an excellent question. You get points, Chris Keene.
And I imagine, wow. So it was probably, like, far more difficult to do that back then, to dub anime back then, than it is now, I'd imagine.
You know, a lot of the technique is the same.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really not that much of a difference. It's just, it was interesting though, like in Texas where when we started it, or when ADV started it, when they started it, they used the Avid. So then, what they would do is, you know, we would see the movie, they'd show us the clip, and then we'd go back and say, okay, I'm going to try that line. And then we would just try and speak as best we could to match the lip flaps. And then the technician would actually like take the sound and then shift the sound around and make it fit.
Mm-hmm.
Out here, they just do this system with the beeps, where you hear three beeps, and then where you would hear the fourth beep, that's when you start talking. And it completely threw me when I first got out here. So I was like, what is that noise in my head? Oh my God, make it stop. But now I think everyone uses the beeps.
Oh, okay.
Right. Wow, that is like such a huge piece of history, you know, because I mean, like Ava, right? The efforts that you and all the other actors put together and all the technicians and whatnot to make that a possibility dubbed, it's really remarkable because, you know, you ask a lot of like people out there on the internet, hey, what was the first anime you ever saw? It's like Ava. And I loved Rei. I loved Rei Ayanami. Wow, that was such a great anime. It was my first anime.
Super, so super it's like, influential.
Yeah, extremely influential. Everybody has like a nostalgic like underpinning to it, and so wow, that's just really cool to hear that, you know, you were so strongly tied to the history of that entire project. Awesome.
You are so sweet, but you're making me feel so fucking old.
Well, I got to continue from where he's at though, because we actually had a really good follow up question that somebody asked. Heaven Smiley.
Yes,
he says he wants to know. He says that you've been in anime and ADR since the 90s, and he says obviously the anime boom sort of happened in the 2000s. So what he basically wants to know is what sort of shifts in the industry and the art have you noticed, you know, from now to from then to now?
That is a brilliant question. I have no fucking idea what he's talking about. No, I'm teasing. the thing is, I'm not really in the anime industry anymore. My son was born in 2004. Well, actually, nice piece of trivia. He was conceived while we were working on Dead Leaves, which, if for those of you who have seen Dead Leaves, is a little disturbing, but you get it, you mm-hmm. know. And about 5.5 months after he was born, he was diagnosed with a really severe form of leukemia. Oh. So I kind of just dropped off the face of the earth for a couple of years just to hang out and be with my kid. Mm-hmm. And so he's okay. He's awesome. He's hilarious.
Oh, that's good.
But you know, after something like that, I just haven't, I still get people who call me in and I love working with them and they're fantastic, but I don't go out and solicit work anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's sort of, it's amazing. It's fun when it happens, but it's just not as important to me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't really know as much about the modern anime scene.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Someone else would. Like, yeah. I think that, what's it called? Persona may have been the first anime I had done since Dead Leaves.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, because that looked like, just looking at your Wikipedia page, like that had been the first one you'd done in a long time.
Yeah, I think so. That was just me dipping my toe back in, but yeah. I'm sort of happy. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the voiceover industry, and I can say this because I don't care, the voiceover industry is very catty. It's become very catty and very cliquish.
Ooh.
Mm. Really? I hate that shit. I mean, I just have no energy for that stuff. Like,
right.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, what we're doing is fun and amazing and awesome if we inspire people, but we're not saving anyone's lives. Mm-hmm. We're not, mm-hmm. you know, creating the cure for cancer. So we shouldn't take ourselves too seriously. And a lot of voice actors do.
Right.
I just have a zero tolerance level for bullshit.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, that's interesting because
I'm not getting as much work anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting because from our sort of purview, the way we see it, I think a lot of times, like, because we play a lot of video games, obviously, so for us, it often feels like we're hearing like the same 10, 20, 30, 50 voices, you know, repeated over and over and over again. And it, you know, I mean, it's easy, you know, when two or three or four people are working on the same projects all the time, I could definitely see how that would sort of become, you know, a sort of like a brat packish thing, you know, within that sort of sect of actors.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's getting to the point now where it's starting to become a joke that like certain actors are going to be in a game if another certain actor shows up, because they're just always together. They're like a package deal at this point almost. They're gonna be together no matter what the project is. They're gonna get worked in somehow.
Yeah, like I said, I so don't care about that shit anymore. Yeah. I'm writing now. I'm working on books. I'm doing other stuff. I do have a session next week to go in and record, and it's with one of my favorite directors, so it's going to be awesome and going to be a blast. But again, I ain't curing cancer, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm really that important. And I laugh my ass off at the ones who think they are.
I love this. You know, keeping it real. Fuck you.
Yeah, this is great.
That's awesome. Amanda, I got to tell you raw. That, too. Before we did this, before we recorded this episode, I went back and I like listened to some of your lines in Persona and like in the anime and whatnot, because I'm interested in that. I have a background, I have an undergrad in linguistics, so I was listening to you in the anime and like you're really fucking good. You're like really talented. Like when you're sad or whatnot with like Yukiko in the anime, and you guys all know Persona fans, people listening to this know, the anime really really makes Yukiko like her it, like really elevates her character. You get to hear a lot more dialogue out of her. You get to a lot more like feelings of how she feels about things are like conveyed and whatnot. And yeah, you were just like, God, your performance is like awesome at that. So I wanted to get that in there before we kind of moved on to maybe where this conversation is going. But like, you're a writer. Like, how did you get into writing? What do you write about? What are you working on?
Well, actually, okay. First of all, wait, I have to back up and say, oh my God, thank you so much. That was really very, very kind of you.
Oh, you're awesome.
The funny thing is, like, I seriously cannot stand the sound of my own voice.
What?
I can't. I hate it. It drives me nuts. To me,
okay,
my voice.
Okay, wait. If you're gonna make a bold statement like that, then we just have to have the discussion now because everybody's kind of waiting on it. But we gotta know about the laugh because I don't like the sound of my own voice. So I can't imagine how can you feel that way and also do the laugh. It's one of the most infectious, believable laughs. Definitely that I've ever heard in a video game for sure. How do you create that?
I honestly just start laughing my ass off. That is really me. Belly laughing. That goofy Betty Rubble laugh. That is me.
Oh, Lord. You have no idea how many people asked about the laugh or like, can she do the Yukiko laugh or does she laugh as much as the character does?
And the laugh is it. The laugh is really the iconic thing.
Yeah. You guys
want to
laugh?
Do it. Go use the laugh. Oh, yeah.
So here's acting technique. What you do when somebody makes you laugh is what you do is you slowly build it up. First, you do like a little like, like you're trying to keep yourself from laughing. Then you do a bigger one. And then by then, it actually kicks in and you really are trying not to laugh and you just start laughing. I know it sounds like bullshit.
No, it kind of, it makes sense. I mean, Yukiko pretty much does this at least a couple times in Persona 4. It kind of starts small and then it builds bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right, here we go. Oh, God, no, wait, that was me. Sorry, I wasn't starting yet.
Oh, okay. You're on the spot now, Amanda.
Yeah.
We couldn't tell.
Okay. Here we go.
That's awesome. Excellent. It's like the gasping. It's like the gasping for air kind of thing that just really makes it sound like
my
super
stomach
authentic.
Muscles are always so sore after I do a laugh. But also, I just laugh a lot in general as a person. That is my favorite thing in the entire world to do. So I try and do it as much as humanly possible.
I think we can definitely tell. Yeah, for sure.
And you're married to a stand-up comic, so.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Your entire life is surrounded in like jokes and stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's like... Well, you know what? Actually, he. It turns out he was too well adjusted to be a stand-up comic, and so now he does TV and film editing. Ooh. So, but he's amazing. He's phenomenal. He and my son are in Houston this weekend, which is why I'm sitting here on Valentine's Day.
Oh yeah,
sweatpants.
Wonderful.
Hanging out with four hot guys over
four nerds on the internet. Oh man, this is terrible. Yeah. This is awful.
I mean, look at it this way. How many chances do you get to tell other Persona nerds that you spent Valentine's with Yukiko, right?
Yeah, exactly. I dumped my girlfriend to be here.
That was the worst thing I've ever said. But anyways.
But back to the writing. I got to know about this.
It's true. It's true. So you were mentioning I just thought I'd bring it back to this. You were mentioning you're a writer, and so what? What have you worked on, and what are you working on now, or what can you tell us about that?
Well, I do have one book out. It is an ebook. Mm-hmm. It's called The Noodle Chronicles, Everything mm-hmm. I Know About Cheating Death I Learned from My Son. And it sounds like really heavy, but the first line of the book is, I fucking hated being pregnant. dealing with like my son's cancer, and it's like I always say, it's like me. It's short, it's inexpensive, and surprisingly funny.
Okay.
And I'm giving the proceeds to the Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
Oh,
I actually saw
Amazon or Nook. I think that's all the pimping I'm prepared to do.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm pretty sure.
Dirty now, dude.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm pretty sure that we know somebody really who's read that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if you listened to it, but I actually listened to a podcast that you did, I think, a while ago with someone, and you talked a lot about the book. And you mentioned that first line, which is why I reacted that way, because I remembered that. That's a great way to open a book like that. Really sets the tone perfectly. But yeah, it sounds really great.
So many of the books that are involved with, like, oh, a loved one has cancer, are so, like, saccharine and... So, you know, then we let go and let God. And, you know, if that works for you, rock on. That's great. But that did nothing for me. And so I basically wrote the book that I wish I'd been able to read while I was going through it.
Oh, Lord.
If that makes any sense. Just sort of like let people know this is horrifically shitty and I am so sorry and you're not alone and you're going to get through it.
Awesome. God, I have to read that. You actually read that, didn't you, PK?
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed it, actually. It was like a roller coaster. Like there are so many chapters, and like it went through like a lot of phases. Like Amanda, you talked about your own personal life, which I thought was really interesting, and you talked about anime and cancer itself, and that was just so like heartwarming. I think at the end, when like you just fought through it.
Yay!
Yeah,
thank you for reading it. Like I said, the proceeds have gone to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So.
Right on. Yeah.
I have heard from like a couple of other moms that are going through stuff like this at saying, you know, thank you. And so for me, it's like, I don't care if I ever sell another book. Like it was there for somebody who was going through this. I'm good. I'm happy. You know, mm-hmm.
That's awesome. No, that's really inspirational. That's something to really be proud of, man. I wish I could do something like that. But are you still writing right now or?
Yes, I'm actually. Well, now I'm working on a novel.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Absolutely ridiculous about a woman who falls in the shower, accidentally slits her wrists, and dies. turns into a ghost. And only after she knew it. Ghost does she realize she's in love with her best friend. And he is the only one who can see her or hear her. And it's sort of like a, well, great, we're soulmates now, what do we do? Kind of thing. Very, very
we're
silly.
Soulmates, literally soulmates.
Wonderful, yeah.
I love it.
That's
so
great.
So I figured I'll throw in another question here since we've got a few to go through. Michael Da Silva asks, Yukiko has a reputation as a murderer in the kitchen. When you make food, do you kill people too?
Depends on whether or not they've pissed me off.
Oh, good response.
I'm not bad. I have some really, really good recipes and I have some really mediocre ones, but I'm never toxic, because if it was ever that bad, I'd be like, okay, I called and ordered pizza. We're not eating this. This is disgusting. I would never make somebody eat something that disgusting.
Fair enough. A lot of questions about food. It seems like every time we have an actor on, there's a question about cooking or whatnot. I don't know why that is.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's true. So, Ron, PK, do either of you have a question right now, or?
Yeah, I have a question of my own, as a matter of fact. Talking to you and hearing how you were kind of sort of out of the game for a while, once your son, got his condition and everything. Obviously, there's been a sort of a boom for, like, the Persona brand. I mean, we're doing this podcast because the series is more popular now. So I want to know, how is that, from where you stand, how does that look to you? Because I can only imagine the day when you get the call, hey, we need you back, we need new dialogue because we got a new version of the game, and we have the fighting game, and we have the anime, and there's all this stuff happening, and there's more stuff happening that you may or may not be involved with now, or may not be involved with in the future, but Yukiko, the character, is out there. So right. For you, do you feel like that's made you, do you feel like, are you getting like more like fan responses and reactions and things? Do you feel like you're more out there now than you were before? Because, I mean, obviously, Evangelion, Rei, Ayanami in her own right, is pretty, pretty iconic and popular. She's definitely one of my favorite anime characters.
And it was also, 18 years ago?
Right. It was a sort of a different demographic and a different time.
Exactly.
So even if you want to compare and contrast, though, just in general, just having done Persona 4, you do it. It's done. You put it in the bag. You move on. Things happen, obviously. And then you come back to it. And now all of a sudden, it's becoming a pretty, for what it is, in inside of its niche, it's really popular for compared to it, what it would be competing with. It's really, really popular.
You know what? My attitude is just, anytime I get to go work in the booth, it's like, yay! I'm going to go play! Ah! I love doing what I do. But it's not going to solve world hunger or anything like that. So I, like I said, so I don't kid myself. Mostly the thing that I like about this project, its resurgence, is that I really love the original directors. Val directed the game and Christy Reed directed the anime. And they're both so much fun to work with. Just like, yay, we're going to go play in the booth. So that's basically my only reaction to the popularity. It's cool that it's so popular, but I'm not that invested in it.
That makes sense, yeah. We keep hearing that, too. The other actors that we've talked to, they said that the voice directors and the people at Atlas are just so great to work with. That was it for them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're really sweet. They're really fun. I mean, let's put it this way. Like, if it wasn't fun, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, right.
I don't need to do anything. I don't need to work right now. I can just turn stuff down if I want to. But I like working with those guys. They're fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, totally. For sure.
Okay. So, obviously we have a lot of old school Persona fans as well. PK, do you have a certain question that you probably know what I'm referring to? Right now.
Oh, yeah, I do.
All right, go for it.
So this might sound weird, but Amanda, you actually voiced another Persona character. Her name was Lella, and she was like in Persona 2, Eternal Punishment. And it came out like in the early 2000s. Do you recall voicing that character?
Nope.
There we go.
Sorry, sweetheart. I wish I could tell you. oh my god, this and this. I have absolutely no memory of it.
That works for me. All the old guard that harassed me for not bringing on all these fucking voice actors.
That is so amazing.
This is perfect. That was the best response. I love it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna be getting all kinds of hate mail for that one.
Well, that's no, it's okay. That's the best answer. No, I'm kidding. But no, that was great. But you did do a ton of other. You've done like a lot of Atlas characters throughout the years. Are they usually with the same studio, or are they usually with the same people? Like when you did Digital Devil Saga or Devil Survivor, things like that.
Yes, that was PCB Productions. And that was Keith and Val.
Okay, so because you said that you when you did Yukiko in the original Persona 4, that was like your return to the industry. Did you audition for that, or was that they called you in, or what?
Val just called me in. She knew me, and she knew what she wanted. So, and she knows that I can give it. That just sounds wrong. I can give it to her. So disgusting. What I meant is that she is a really amazing director, and she and I work really well together. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Did I say sound like a pompous dickhead? Would you promise we will cut it out if I sound like a pompous dickhead?
you gave us the real answer and the safe for work answer, and the real answer just happens to be more interesting, and that's all right.
Yeah. Trust me, you have no idea how many old guard give me shit for like, you only bring on people that worked on 4 and this.
Persona 4 and 3, you guys never mentioned Persona 2. Well, what do you guys, if we really remember Persona 2, we think these guys think, what do you want us to do? But we made an honest effort, and we did ask you, and it's on your filmography, because if you go to your IMDb page, surely it's there, and it's not like someone put it there, it was actually there. You don't remember it, which I guess means that it might not have happened, but it totally happened, because it's in the credits of that game. So it definitely happened.
There. To be fair, Persona 2, like, it only has a couple of voice lines, so, like, you can count them on your hand. Like, there are very few voice clips. And I actually, like, going back to Lilith's character, I actually think she reminds me of, like, Amanda yourself, because, like, I think she's, like, spontaneous and bubbly, and she also swears a lot. It's really funny.
That's probably why Keith cast me.
Like, her opening line in a fight, she's like, don't underestimate me, you bastard. But the bastard is bleeped out, so it's really funny.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a question about all that old stuff. Amanda, yes. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make you feel old, but I am so interested in this. What was it like recording that back then? I mean, did you get into a booth and, you know, they had microphones like they do now, or was it all done over the phone, or
they stepped into caves and spoke into rocks.
Exactly.
Shut up! What fuck you? No, I really don't know. Teach me the history.
Jesus, Armana, Christ!
Oh my god. No, I mean, it's pretty much the same as it was back then. You sit in a room with, and then there's two sheets of glass, and then the director and the technician. And the producers sit in the control room and they do the little voice of God, push the button and talk to you, whatever. And you just give them takes. There hasn't been that much evolution over the years.
Okay. I see. So like, you know, they'll show you like a picture of the character, right? And be like, hey, here's what your character looks like. And here's some traits about her. And then you just go from there and.
You know. Yes.
Okay.
I'll, you know, say, well, how about something like this? And they'll say, well, you know, I want it to be more graphic. Okay, well, how about one of the... Yeah, and we just sort of, like, work through it. They just throw stuff at me and tell them we lock down on what it is they're looking for.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, okay.
Like I said, it's really fun. Especially, like, when you get it right, when you know you've just hit the sweet spot on an accented character. Yeah. Oh, God, it's the coolest feeling. Nerd.
But, it's the best.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah.
Dude, wow. I think my coffee is kicking in.
Well, yeah, good. Oh, how did you, all right, Yukiko, right?
What now we can ask like, the real questions.
What was it like going in there on the first day and then being like, okay, you're going to play Yukiko, who's probably, you know, one of the most conservative young girls on the planet or something like that, you know, and she showed you the character art and everything. Like, how did you get the character? How did you get the voice?
We just sort of talked about, I'm trying to remember, we talked about, well, how old was she? And, you know, was she the good girl? Was she the hyper girl? Was she, you know, whatever? And like I said, Val just talked me through it, and that's what we came up with.
Oh, right on. Actually, I have another one. I don't. Hopefully, you remember this one. Do you remember working on Devil Survivor Overclocked at all?
No.
Okay, all right, I'll just skip that question. I'm sorry, Rosin. It's okay.
SMT fan.
You know what? I think I saw that question.
It was for Haru in Devil Survivor Overclocked. And
he's a singer.
Yeah.
And what?
The question was just, what was it like to record Haru in Devil Survivor Overclocked?
I don't remember that character. Who was that?
She was a suicidal singer.
That's dark. Singer.
Yeah.
Boy, this is great.
Some dark shit, man.
I know.
Yeah, that's something. That's pretty dark, and we don't remember it, so that's even better.
All right.
For some reason, I'm thinking, like, in the back of my brain, I'm thinking, when did that come out? 2004?
Let's see. I don't have the date.
I think it came out in 2011.
Yeah, Devil Survivor Overclocked. Yeah, that's crazy recent.
Mm-hmm. All right,
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Like, we're just trying to be fair here. Ron, PK, do either of you have a question that we can move on to? Or?
Yeah, I have a question that might take us a long way, might not. Basically, Reanimation says that he has a sort of a syndrome where he says that when he hears familiar voice actors from Persona in a trailer or a piece of marketing for another game, he'll buy the game on that strength alone. Like he says, he's hearing similar voices in another game that's coming out soon. And basically, he wants to know, for you, what is it like working on different projects with actors that you've worked with before, whether that's in Persona or in other games? Do you associate them with that character still? Is there like a weird shift that has to happen, or do you just know this is a different thing?
No, you know what? They pull us in one at a time. So 9 times out of 10, you don't even see any of the other actors.
That's right.
It's kind of fun to hear, like, in the headphones, and I'll be like, oh my God, is that Rachel Robinson? Or, oh, is that Spike? Or whatever. And it's mm-hmm. like, that to me, it's fun. I'm psyched for my friends that they got the work. That's awesome. But other than that, it's not, no, I don't associate specific voices with specific characters. It's just sort of like, oh, she's doing the scrappy one. I like what she's doing with this. Whatever. So, yes, no, maybe. That's my final answer.
Fair enough. No, no, it's good stuff. I get that. But let's see. What about you, PK?
Someone asked if you resonated with any of the characters you voiced over the years.
I think all of the characters I've voiced over the years are aspects of myself. It's just me tapping into different parts of my personality, going like, all right, let's send all the adrenaline to the neurotic side. Or, okay, time to be perky, or time to be this, time to be that. But it's every character is a piece of me. And I know there are some people are saying, well, you know, that's method and that's messed up, but I'm able to leave it in the studio. It's not like if I do a suicidal character, I'm going to go home and throw myself off a bridge. I'm okay. I'm a professional. I got this down.
So you didn't have any bouts of depression while voicing Ray, for example?
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh,
really?
Oh, oh are boy. You kidding?
That story is dark enough.
Oh God. Yeah. No, there'd be times when we were recording when I would just like stop and ask Matt to tell me a joke because I was going into too scary a corner of my head.
Oh God.
To voice Ray. It was really messed up and disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
But I left it at the studio.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
Yeah. That was always my favorite character in that show too. And I was just like, good Lord, this just keeps getting worse and worse as the series
darker
goes
and
on
darker.
Too.
Yeah. Same here.
Especially especially the final two episodes, just like, what the fuck did I just watch?
A lot of people have that reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Gynax ran out of money.
Mm-hmm.
So we've heard. Yeah, that's Oh man. I had another question though. We've asked a few other people this, but at this point, you've definitely made it clear you're not, even though you're not doing a ton of acting, you don't have to. You're obviously in a great position. But when you are in the booth, you still seem to really love it. I want to know, looking at the landscape now, do you have any interest in doing any sort of like motion capture stuff? Because that seems to be really where everything is at now. Like sort of getting out there, and you're not. It's not quite stage acting, but it's not just voice acting. You know, they're doing it for games a lot, where it's like they're modeling the face after you, and your face is getting captured, and you're doing the actions, and they're linking you up with everything. I'm sure you've seen some of that stuff. So, is that something you're interested in at all, or are you just want to stick to the booth and do it, you know, once in a while, or you know?
Sweetie, no one is going to want to motion capture my fat ass. Okay.
Oh.
There are plenty of cute, quirky little things in Hollywood with great voices that they can use.
I can't disagree. They're certainly not want for talent.
Yeah.
Oh. So, would you ever want to do?
Not so much like would I want to. It's I really don't think anyone would ever ask me.
But
it's not like poor me. No, I am not their ideal candidate. I'm short and curvy, and mm-hmm. I have a bad back. I mean.
Right. So for you, it's more a matter of just being realistic about the performances that you're going to pull off and be asked to pull off.
And what?
And be asked to, you know, to perform. And it's for you, it's more about the jobs that are, like, realistic for you. That makes sense. Okay.
I mean, like I said, everything is an aspect of myself, but mm-hmm. I do try and leave it in the studio. But there's sometimes, like, on Saints Row the Third,
Oh man, well you're in Saints Row the Third. Wow, I can't believe I didn't know that.
I'm a Latina prostitute puppy.
Oh my god! Me and another guy that we've had on before. That's one of our favorite games ever. That's a fantastic game. Oh man.
Well, they needed the sound of someone puking, and I'm allergic to milk.
Oh, okay.
So I ate an ice cream sandwich and let them record.
Oh my god!
That is commitment to the craft. That is
so badass.
Fantastic. Fantastic. That's an anecdote.
Between me heaving, I just kept going, I'm such a fucking idiot. I cannot believe I did this to my god damn it.
I was just thinking, like, yeah, if you're allergic to that, that's amazing dedication.
Yeah. There we go.
Good lord. So
I suffer for my art.
Absolutely. That's truly. Truly, but so I've got a question from Heaven Smiley, and I figured that there's got to be something fun to come out of this. I always hear about convention stories with a lot of actors enjoying that they love interacting with their fans. Do you have a favorite story from going to conventions or anything like that?
Oh God, just about every single green room party I've ever been to.
Oh, damn.
Oh, we're going to get something good here.
No.
fair enough.
I can't pick a favorite. Just, it's so cool to be surrounded by people who appreciate what you do, because let's face it, we ain't God. It's not like people are stopping us in the street going, oh my God, you did the voice of Yukiko. Can I have your autograph?
Right.
So it's nice to feel like people, to know that somebody actually listens to what you're doing. And so then to be able to meet them, it's, I don't know, it's a cool feeling. Yeah, you know what? I don't think I can tell you any of the party stories. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I know how that is.
It's all good. So diplomatic.
Absolutely. I mean, when you go out and get crunked, that's not the best stuff to share on a podcast sometimes, right?
Yeah, not so much.
Anyway.
Damn, I was going to ask you, what was the most fucking weird thing you've ever seen at one of those?
But I guess not. So,
okay, yeah. So there was this one green room party where there was, like, I don't know where Jan Scott Frazier found it, but she had this huge, like, 8-inch dick lollipop.
What?
It was a lollipop that was, like, beige, shaped like a dick. Oh, so geez. I was wearing a pair of jeans, so I unbuttoned my fly and stuck it in, and she licked the head of the lollipop, and people took pictures.
Oh, man.
Oh, Christ.
That's anime. That's
the weirdest thing I've ever done.
That's the best.
Well, no, you know what? I've probably done worse, but that's the weirdest thing I'm copping to.
Fair enough. No, that's God. You're just so open. I love this. This is the best.
Hey, what flavor was that? What flavor was that lollipop?
These stories are
vanilla.
Oh man,
surprisingly.
Wow. God.
And then I think I just chased people around with it all night.
All right. Hey, Amanda. I was wondering, did you like the confrontation between Yukiko and her shadow? Yukiko is a very reserved, calm sort of character, while the shadow is very, aggressive and repressed. What was that like? Did you enjoy that?
Oh, a lot. It's always fun when you can tap into a different aspect of a character. Because how do you keep it true to the soft, sweet character that you've already created while still letting it get the psycho angry stuff across? Plus, I was having a really bad day that day, so I loved being able to go in and scream my brains out. I felt so much better by the time I left. I was like, oh, this is better than therapy.
Yeah, I actually before this podcast, I actually saw that scene again. And did you do all that in one day? Because that just seems crazy. You go from crying to being serious to screaming to crying again and all this. I mean, and that's sort of the sequence it goes in. Did you do all that recording in one sitting?
Yes, for that one, we did. But what we do usually is, like, if there's something that's really hard on the voice, like screaming or crying, we'll go through and do all the other lines and then go back and get the, like, super emotional ones. So it sort of sections them off that way too. So it's sort of easier to be more intense for short periods of time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's like the magic of ADR then. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I see.
Does that make really sense? Cool. Or am I talking shit?
No,
that absolutely makes sense. Cause I was like, man, you know, if your instrument is your voice, right? And you go in there and you're going from, you know, screaming at Chie to crying about something, to being really serious, to being back to screaming, back to crying and stuff. I was like, man, that's got to be rough. That's really rough sounding. Yeah. Wow.
Good stuff.
And you did that, like, what, three times? You did that in Persona 4. You did that in the anime, and then you went back and did that in Persona 4 Arena. So it was like so many times doing that.
That's one of the joys of voice acting.
Okay, you know what? Hey, here we go. We're gonna go off into what I want to talk about, Amanda. I want to know about you, actually. Do you sing? Do you have like any sort of musical background or anything?
I studied opera in college.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I was like hardcore. That's why I can belch really loud, because I've got those diaphragm muscles built up.
Yeah.
But that's also actually a lot of where the laughing comes from, is, you know, expanding my lungs. So yes, I did that.
Yeah, the reason I asked is because I had a feeling. I had a feeling like, yeah, you could, if you wanted to yell and like scream really loud, your volume would probably be crazy. Because I don't know. I just get this feeling like whenever I hear people that are like soft spoken, how do I describe it? It's like the voice is coming from the gut, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I get that feeling with you. I'm like, oh man, I would want to hear her like yell as loud as possible, but you know, we'll fucking break Skype if we did that. So alas, I'll never get to hear it, you know, but yeah, opera. That's really cool. What was that like? You know, what were those classes like? What was that process?
I, you know, it taught me all like sort of the proper ways of singing. And then I did musicals and stuff. And then I sang with a blues band. I was a backup singer in a blues band. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. And that's when I kind of went, you know what? Opera's beautiful, but I kind of like drinking and hanging out too much to really dedicate my life to it.
Oh, yeah. So hey, what's your drink of choice? What's your drinks? What are your drinks of choice?
Well, actually, right now, I do not drink alcohol. Well, I live in California. We've got medical marijuana. Why the fuck would I do something that's going to leave me hungover?
There you go.
Good point. Absolutely.
I've got a prescription. It's all legal.
Yeah.
Of course.
With medicinal purposes.
Exactly. The kid is not in the house, so.
Yeah.
It's... But so yeah, I used to love. Oh God, there was this drink called Russian cream soda that I loved. It's vanilla Stoli and ginger ale, and it really tastes exactly like cream soda, and it kicks your ass. It's so delicious and so much fun.
Oh my God, that's I drink a drink very similar to that called Moscow Miller. It's there's no cream in it, no cream soda in it, right? But it has the ginger ale and uses lime and vodka.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, it's killer.
Yum. Seriously, just try the vanilla Stoli once. Vanilla Stoli and ginger ale. That's all you need. Vanilla Stoli and ginger ale. It will taste just like cream soda.
God, I miss drinking. God, Danny, that sounds perfect, though. I'm going to have to try that one of these days. But
Evo, man.
I know. Yeah. When we go to Evo, we'll have to do it. But I think PK is back. Are you there, PK?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Absolutely.
Yay! Right. Welcome back, friend.
You survived. You survived. So, I know you had a specific question you had in mind. What was that, sir?
Okay, I was just wondering, what did you think of the romance scenes in Persona 4? Because they're like really, like they're lovey-dovey, they're over the top, they're like, I want to love you so much forever and ever and ever. And I kind of like them, and they're like a guilty pleasure, but they sound really, really corny. So what did you think of voicing them?
Boy, they don't sound corny. Are you kidding me?
Some of them
do. Amanda sounded sexy as hell.
Yeah, man, don't talk to my wife like that, bro.
Dude, Yukiko, so sexy. Holy shit.
Oh, my.
ow!
Usually, we were fucking around so much, just playing so that that's awesome that it came across sounding so hot and sexy and everything. I was probably laughing my ass off the entire time I was doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, I can
like,
imagine.
Man, there's going to be some like nasty basement dweller weeaboo nerd kid who's going to be like, oh, Yukiko, tell me you love me again.
That's basically how it went, right?
If that was it, exactly.
So we know exactly what the target demographic is, so we need you to sound very sultry. But
I apologize. For anybody who heard me say that, I apologize. The actual fan demographic is a very very douche and gentlemanly.
Armada knows and fully admits that Yukiko is a top waifu, guys, so just relax.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
Okay, so what was it like voicing Yukiko in Persona 4 Arena? Persona 4 Arena is like a fighting game, so like she sounds a lot more action oriented. I was just wondering what the process was like.
It was hard because it's sort of like what I was talking about before. She's a very soft character, so it's keeping the soft aspect of her voice, but she's kicking someone's ass, so she's got to sound a little more aggressive. And Val was just amazing at finding the balance.
Okay, fair enough. So, well, thank you for dealing with these ridiculous thirsty nerds, Amanda. But
thirst is so real.
Yeah, a little too real. But
certain individuals, and they know who they are. They definitely know who they are.
Hey, I'm just fucking around.
Okay, anyways.
Hashtag thirst. Tweet it.
Anyways, but it was a pleasure. So thanks a lot for coming on. We had a great time.
I had an absolute blast, you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right,
Amanda, you're awesome. Your energy is like just so like awesome. We I don't think anybody's been like this with us. You know, just like just so explosive and being like, yeah, fuck this, fuck that. Ah, I'm all over the place. It's like awesome. Thank you.
I'm glad I could entertain.
So
like I said, I just don't have the energy to play the bullshit game anymore, so
that's fair enough. I keeping it real.
Anyway, I really had a blast hanging out with you guys. I am gonna go do a bong hit.
Okay.
But you guys have a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Bye guys.
Thanks again. Take care.
Excuse me.
That's all we need. You can go on if you want. That's all we need.
Yeah, that's good. That's good enough.
We're good? Okay. Well, it was great talking to you. No, okay.
Oh, my God.
So all I was just thinking how we'd start this off is normally I do the show intro and I just say I'm here with this person, and as I say their names, they say hello. And then I'll say yours last since you're the guest, obviously. And then should we just do like an introduction or something? Or
like, I think that always works best, you know, like if we basically start out like how we do with all the other actors, and you know, Kyle, you usually say, so really, how did you get into acting? That's what we've done before. And then from there we ask, you know, pretty much Amanda, just the basic ones like, hey, how did you get into Persona? You know, because we're a Persona podcast and people follow a lot of the actors. Oh, gee. That's how you made it. That's how you made your move. Oh
Jesus Christ. Oh, that was too good.
Fucking awesome.
It's already begun.
Oh, yeah. My God.
All right. Perfect.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Do the whole thing in the Yukiko voice, too, to throw people off, because she's such like a, what, like a, what is that, like a virginal kind of girl, right?
Welcome to really... Being Logged In. That voice.
Oh, yeah, do it. Do it in that voice.
Big hairy ball sack. Like that.
Oh, God.
Kyle, how are you not recording any of this?
I am.
Oh, my God.
What is wrong with you? Press record already.
I'm stepping up. To the Amagi Challenge. And I know it's tough, but it's true love, hon. I guess I better get over it and find the courage to say, get your arms around me, I wanna be your Valentine. And I've always been a fire kind of guy, so if I'm creeping you out, be sure to hear me now. And what I'm trying to say to you is, Yukiko, you're making my social link grow so big tonight. I think I might put some pineapple on your pizza, girl. I said, Yukiko, you're making my life slow moan, and I think you're sweet. I'd even eat your mystery food Xbox lunch, baby.